All right, first thing we're going to do is grade the quiz. And for those that will be listening at home or watching this, we'll say what we're doing. It's Genesis 2 quiz. Art, you ready? All right. So let's start with our Genesis 2 quiz. Question number one was, what are the names of the two specific trees in chapter 2? So Bryce can give it to us. What are the names?
The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And why do we care about these trees? What do these trees matter to us? I mean, there's probably 150, 200 trees, different types of trees. I mean, I have no idea, but there would have been a lot of different trees in the Garden of Eden. Why do we care about these trees, Anna?
It's important later in the Bible.
All right, because of their importance later in the Bible. Good. What else?
Well, the tree of life, if you eat it, you can live forever.
Right, the tree of life, if you eat it, you can live forever.
The tree of knowledge of good and evil, you can have the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, but what does the... Landon, go, begin.
God said if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die.
Right, God said if you eat from this tree, you're going to die. So what did the trees create for man? Because God gave a prohibition. What's a prohibition? Jack, if I give you a prohibition, what is that? You're prohibited from doing something. What does that mean?
I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. A prohibition is something you can't do. So, Anna, what did the prohibition create?
A choice.
A choice. That's right. It created a choice. And we're going to label this choice. You want to make sure you're taking notes. This choice is a moral choice. Why is it a moral choice? Why is it a moral choice? Because this morning, when you got up this morning, you decided you're going to wear that burgundy shirt or that gray shirt or blue shirt. That was not a moral choice. Why wasn't that a moral choice? Why wasn't the color of the shirt you wore this morning, whether you wore a sweatshirt, whether you wore an Adidas pullover, why wasn't that a moral choice? All right, let's answer the question, what do we mean by moral? Something is immoral, what is it? Immoral. If I add the I am in front of moral, so that's immoral behavior. So the word is moral, and then I put the prefix I am in front of it, it changes it. So do we have any idea what moral means? I guess the answer is no. So the word we're looking at is moral, which is good. Moral choice. Let's take a moment and pull up the word moral on our screen for everyone to take a look at. M-O-R-A-L. Moral. Okay, go ahead. Who can read that? Pepper, go ahead and read that, please. Letter A.
Of or relating to principles of right and wrong.
Alright, so write down in your notes that moral relates to what?
Right and wrong.
Right and wrong. Right. And the tree is the tree of what, Jaden?
Knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah, good and what?
Evil.
Yeah, good and evil. So this creates for them what kind of a choice?
The choice to do right and wrong.
Yeah, or a what word? A moral choice. Why wasn't the color of the shirt, or whether you wore the NC Wolfpack pullover, why wasn't that a moral choice, Bethany?
Because there was no right or wrong.
That's right. There wasn't a right or wrong answer. Now, you could have a conversation about right or wrong if you choose not to wear anything. Now we've moved into the category of, well, that's not right, okay? We need you to be what?
Clothed.
Yeah, we need you to be clothed. We need you to be dressed. Right. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil creates for Adam and Eve what kind of a choice, Anna?
Right or wrong choice.
Yeah, but what word do I want you to learn?
Moral.
A moral choice. A moral choice. And we're spelling that word moral, M-O-R-A-L. So what happens when we put the prefix I am in front of it?
No. It becomes a bad choice.
Yes, right. We're negating it. And immoral behavior is behavior that is wrong. Immoral behavior is behavior that is wrong. Okay? Immoral behavior is behavior that's wrong. Question number three. Anna.
Where does it seem like chapter 2 should have begun?
Yeah, where does it seem like chapter 2 should have begun?
Verse 4.
All right, why are you saying verse 4, Bethany? Because verse 4 is clearly the correct answer. Why are you saying that?
Because
Because it like starts a whole new section.
All right, starts a whole new section. She's on the right track. Would you add anything to that, Jack?
No.
Jamie, where's day 7 fall? Where's day 7? Is day 7 in chapter 1 or is day 7 in chapter 2? Right, but why would day 7 be in chapter 2? Doesn't it make sense that days 1 through 7 would be in what?
Chapter 1.
Have we learned the word toledoth yet? We have learned the word toledoth? Okay, well, toledoth is the word in verse 4, so somebody read verse 4. Someone read verse 4. You got it, Pepper?
These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Good. That's enough. So in the Hebrew, we read, this is the toledoth. This is the toledoth of the heavens and the earth. This is the record of it. All right. Question 5. So the answer on question 4 with the why part, and this is where I encourage you guys to stop using the word because. Don't start your sentences with the word because. That's a lazy way of starting a sentence. What is a better way of starting the sentence with the question why? So the question is, where does it seem like chapter 2 should have begun? And then some of you wrote down the word because, uppercase B, because. What's a better way to start a sentence like that?
It.
What?
It.
That's fair. What would be the best way? How do I take a question and rephrase it into a sentence? How do I take a sentence and rephrase it into a sentence? I'll write it here on our board. All right, here we go. So most of you are going like this, because. And that's how you're starting your sentence. Okay? Chapter 2 should have begun. And then what? Then what would you write? What did you write? Lucas, you had a good answer. What did you write?
Question 4?
Yes.
Because I said 1 through 3 is continuing the 7 days of creation and 4 is a different subject digging into day 6.
Good. So if you had said chapter 2 should have begun with, and what using your answer, what would I have said?
Chapter 2 should have begun with 1 through 3. Or, no, chapter 2 should have begun with verse 4. Because 1 through 3 is continuing the 7 days of creation and 4 is a different subject digging into day 6.
Perfect. Perfect. So get used to taking a question and rephrasing it. So to you, Bethany, here's the question. Why did you wear a pink? Is that pink? Is that fair? What color is that? Is that pink? We'll call it pink. Shirt today. That's the question. And Bethany says, because I like pink. Okay, that's not the best way of rephrasing that. Okay? How should she have rephrased that? Bryson?
I wore it today because I like pink.
Right. I wore pink today because it was the only shirt clean. Is that accurate? Yeah. Right. Because it was the only, right? Instead of saying, because it was the only shirt clean. Now make that your habit. Learn to take a question and rephrase it into a what?
A sentence.
Yeah, a sentence, a statement. Good. Question number, what are we on? Pepper, what are we on?
5.
Go.
On what day of creation is the narrative of verses 4 through 25 occur?
And what day is that?
I said day 6.
It is day 6. You are correct if you said day 6. Okay. Addison, question number 6.
Why was the man put in the Garden of Eden?
Why was the man put in the Garden of Eden?
To work and keep it.
Yeah, to work and keep it. Perfect. To work and keep it. Good. Caleb, go ahead and read question number 7, or one of you, two of you back there. Why did God, question 7, go ahead and read it.
The Lord, your God, formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into
him. Yeah, why did God make Adam a helper fit for him? Why, Jane? Why did God make a helper fit for him?
Because it was not good that he should be alone.
Right. Yeah, it was not good that man should be alone. It was not good that man should be alone. Remember that, man. It's not good for you to spend your whole life alone. God expects you to what? Bryson, God expects you to what? Yeah, God expects you to date, court, find someone that you love, and then marry them and start a what?
Family.
Start a family. Good. Addison, question 8, please.
Adam is made out of dust.
Yeah, dust. Right. Adam is made out of dust. Number 9, Jack.
But Adam was not yet a living creature. What was missing?
And what was missing?
The breath of life.
Yeah, the breath of life was missing. And who provides the breath of life?
God.
God does? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's look at this. I'm going to pull up to you on the screen. I'm going to pull up Genesis 2:4. Genesis 2:4. I don't like this part because you have to get the punctuation perfect or it doesn't recognize it. It's not forgiving at all. Okay, so these are the records of the heavens and the earth concerning their creation. So this is our word. This word records is what word?
Toledot,
right? And then notice heavens and earth. Heavens and earth, okay? I should have used this one because it's easier to write on. Okay, here we go. So these are this is the Toledot. And then the heavens and the earth. So the earth is the dirt or the dust. And what's the heavens? What's the heavens provide?
Breath of life.
The breath of life. I wanted you to see that. Let's make sure we emphasize that one more time. The marriage of heaven and earth. The marriage of heaven and earth. The marriage of heaven and earth comes in the form of God reaching down and getting dirt from the earth and breath from the heavens and making what? Man. That's right. And making man. So that's why the Toledot of the heavens and the earth is the description of God. Here it is right here, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, the dust of the ground, the dust of earth, and then he breathed in the nostrils of the breath of life, which came from heaven, which came from heaven. Okay, which came from heaven. Verse 10, Jack.
The text presents the first example of Adam exercising dominion over the animals God created. What was it?
All right, what was it?
Naming all the animals.
Yeah, naming all the animals. Good. Anna, number 11, please.
Describe how God made the woman.
Yep, and what verse did you use to help you describe that? Was it verse 21?
Mm-hmm.
Pepper, is that the right one? 21? Matthew 21? All right, and read it, please. Anyone that can read loud?
So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh.
Good. So that's the correct answer. Is that what you have?
Yes.
All right. Number, what number?
12.
All right. Bethany, go with 12, please.
What did God do on day 7?
Yeah, what did he do?
He rested to set an example for men.
Yep, and he declared that day to be what?
Holy,
right. And what does holy mean?
Set
apart, right. Write down in your notes that holy equals set apart. Set apart. Write down in your notes that holy means set apart. Verse 13, Jack.
What verse communicates how God expects new families to start?
Okay, and what verse is that?
24.
All right, read it.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
Okay. And that one flesh union is supposed to create what? What will that one flesh union create? Pepper.
Children.
Children. That's right. Children. Right. Children. Good. All right. Verse 14. What language communicates how the woman completes and complements the man? What language communicates how the woman completes and complements the man? Evie, what language? No idea? What you got, Bethany?
They shall be one flesh.
They shall be one flesh, right. They shall be one flesh. What else? Addison, what did you put down for that one?
I wrote become one flesh.
Become one flesh. Good. Anybody else? Landon, what'd you get?
I put they are one flesh, but they are one flesh.
Good. Good. All right, number 15. Why was Eve called woman? Kyron, why was Eve called woman?
Because she was taken out of man.
Yeah, because she was taken out of man. Taken out of man. And then number 16, why were they naked and not ashamed? Jack?
They were perfect.
Yeah, there was no sin. Sin had not entered the world yet. Okay, there are 16 questions, and we each one is worth 6 points. So go ahead and score your own paper, and let's get into our lesson this morning.
I have a question.
Go.
Okay, so question 11, I didn't write down just the straight verse, but it describes how he creates woman to make it
down. Sure. No, you don't have to write down the straight verse.
And then for the question, please start with because. Should we talk about?
No. Because I'm just teaching you.
Okay.
I just want to teach you. I want you to move to a better level of writing. A higher level of writing. Don't start a sentence with because. You can use because, but don't start your sentence. If you're trying to establish a relationship, communicate what the relationship is with the beginning of your sentence and then put the word because in there. All right, let's go. Score yourself. You happy with your score? Happy with your score?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Good. All right. There are three institutions that God created. There are three institutions that God created. Three institutions that God created. Three institutions. Do we have any idea what the three institutions are that God created? What are the three institutions that God created? Any at all? Any ideas? All right, you're in your notes. Institution number one is the family. 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 Institution number one is the family. Where do we see this first in the Bible? Where do we see this first in the Bible? Pepper.
When Adam talks about leaving
the
family becoming one flesh.
Yeah, we see it with Adam, Eve, and then who? Adam, Eve, and then who?
Cain.
Cain, yeah, Cain, right. Cain, and then Abel, and then Seth, right. And we got ourselves a family, right? We got ourselves a family, Landon. Why? How do we know we have ourselves a family?
We have children.
Yeah, we have a husband, we have a wife, we have children. We've got ourselves a family. Now, do you have to have children to be a family?
No.
No, no. Does God have some type of expectation that you create a family? Yes or no?
Yeah. Well, what is the creation mandate?
Yeah, what does the creation mandate say, Pepper?
Multiply.
Yeah, be fruitful.
And multiply.
And multiply. And do what with the earth? Fill it. Right, fill the earth. Okay, we call that the creation mandate. Jack, what's a mandate? What is a mandate? If I give you a mandate, what is it?
A rule.
Yeah. What else? How would you describe it, Addison? A mandate.
A law.
A law? Do you have any mandates in your home? All right, give me some mandates at home. Give me one.
You have to turn in devices at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, turn in devices at 9 o'clock. All right, anybody else have any mandates? Landon.
You can't bring electronics upstairs.
Can't bring electronics upstairs. All right, anybody else? Do you guys have any mandates concerning electronics at the table? Do you guys, is everyone allowed to bring your electronics to the table?
We don't have electronics to bring to the table.
Yeah.
That solves that problem. Yep. So, anybody else have any mandates?
I have to do my school in the living room.
School in the living room. All right. Any other mandates?
Don't cook on the stove when mom and dad are gone.
Okay. Don't use the stove when mom and dad are gone.
I have to do my school and chores before I'm allowed to do anything else usually.
Yeah, school and chores. Give me an example of a chore.
Dishes.
Are you good at it?
Yeah.
Yep. Anna.
Finish chores before 10:30 p.m. 10:30
p.m.?
No, a.m.
A.m. Okay, wow. All right, so we got some mandates. All right, if God's first institution he created was family, does anybody have any idea what his second institution that God created? Any? Nope. All right, you're writing down in your notes, governments. Governments. What is the role and responsibility of government? What does it mean to govern? What does it mean to govern? We say that government governs. What are we describing?
Rule over.
Rule over. All right, good. That's decent. Yeah. To rule over. All right, and does anyone have any idea on the third institution that God has created? The third institution that God has created. The third institution. None? Right, the church. It's the church. So the three institutions that God has created are, number one, what?
Family.
Number two is? And number three is?
Church.
All right, now we're going to tie these to our mandates. Because so far we have received two mandates. We're in chapter one. And we've received two mandates. We've already talked about mandate number one, which is to procreate. To procreate. Okay? And mandate number two is to cultivate. We're going to talk about this more in just a minute. Now, if you take more Bible classes later on as adults, sometimes you'll see that what they do is they take the creation mandate and they just say creation mandate and they'll give it part one and part two. What we're doing is we're taking it and going, number one is create, or the creation mandate, and number two is the cultivate, or the cultivate. Okay, so again, sometimes you're going to see it in the future, like if you take a Bible class in college, Bible class, your teacher may just say, creation mandate has two parts. Part number one is to be fruitful and multiply. Part number two is to subdue and have dominion. What we're doing in this class is we're saying you have two mandates. Mandate number one is to procreate. Mandate number two is to create culture. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Let's look at this one for just a minute. I want you to turn to your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to talk for just a minute about the mandate that God has given governments. The mandate that God has given governments. So God has given two mandates to all human beings, and those mandates are to procreate and to cultivate. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. God has also given a mandate to the governments, to those who are ordained with the responsibility of governing. 1 Peter chapter 2. Unless I got it wrong. Okay, so let's look at verse 13. First of all, how do we know that we're talking about government? How do we know that we're talking about government in this section of Scripture? All right, go, Pepper. Yeah, right here. We've got subject, and we've got the Lord's sake, and then we've got an institution, and then we've got this word, what? What's this word here? Emperor. And what's this word here? Governors. So we know that we're talking about what? Talking about governments. And what does it mean to submit or to subject? What does that mean? If you submit yourself to something, what does that mean?
You're allowing.
Not bad. More. Addison.
You're allowing.
How many of you plan on getting a driver's license? You think, I'm definitely going to get a driver's license. Yep. Okay, you're on the track. Caleb, when do you think you'll have your driver's license? A year, 2 years, 5 years, within a decade? What do you think?
Depends on how, if I drive on the road or not, which is probably pretty likely.
Jack, when do you think you'll get your driver's license? How old are you now? 14?
13.
13, so you're not quite there yet? A couple years. Who's our oldest? You are, Addison, right?
I think so.
Yep. When will you have your driver's license?
Probably exactly a year from now.
Okay.
You just turned 15.
Right. So what are the ways that you submit yourself as a driver? What are the ways that you submit yourself to the governing authorities as a driver? Lucas.
You obey the laws of the road?
Yeah. Give me an example.
You don't run red lights.
All right. You don't run red lights. Right. It's green, you go, and it's red, you stop. That's submitting to the governing authorities.
You drive the speed limit.
Yeah, you follow the speed limit. Right. You're not going 90 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Right. That's an example. It's how you submit. All right. What's another way that we submit to the governing authorities? What's something that your mom and dad do that shows they submit to the governing authorities?
They don't murder people?
Yeah, they don't murder people.
They pay taxes.
Yeah, they pay taxes. Yeah, they pay taxes. Right. So, in our Bible verse, let's go ahead and read the first two verses. Jack, go ahead and read 13 and 14.
Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor or supreme, or to the governors as set by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good.
All right, perfect. Good. If you take 13 and 14, and you combine them, what is the mandate that God gives government in 13 and 14? What is the mandate? This is what you're writing down in your notes. What is the mandate that God gives governments? What is the mandate that God gives governments in these two verses? Preston.
To punish those who do evil.
Yeah, to punish what?
To punish those who do evil.
To do evil. So the government is to punish evil. And number two?
Praise God.
Yeah, to reward. To reward what?
Good.
To reward good. What does God give the government? What does God give the government that he doesn't give me? What does God give the government that he doesn't give me to accomplish this?
Authority.
All right. Number one, good. Authority. Excellent. What else? Turn to Romans 13. Turn to Romans 13. And don't forget about 1 Peter. We're not done with 1 Peter, but let's go ahead and turn to Romans 13. All right, Jack, start us off with verse 1.
Let every person be subject.
Hold on, there's still pages turning. You there, Landon? Okay, well, you can see it on the screen, right? Yeah, go.
Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except for God, and those who exist have been instituted by God.
Okay, so where does government get its authority, Addison?
From God.
Yeah, from God. Very good. So government gets its authority from God. All right, keep reading.
Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment.
Keep reading.
For rules are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer.
Caleb, shut those doors, please. So, let's stop right now. What have we learned so far? What are the things that we've learned from the Bible text so far? Yeah, Pepper.
God gives the government authority.
Yep, God gives the government authority. What else? Lucas.
If you resist the government, you're resisting God.
Right, if you resist the government, you're resisting God. What else?
You don't need to be afraid if you didn't do anything.
Right now, how many of you were afraid of being arrested this morning? How many of you got up this morning and you thought, any minute they're going to find me and arrest me? You didn't? You're not? Why not?
Because you did anything wrong.
That's right. Now, if you're a fugitive, what's a fugitive, Anna? What's a fugitive? You know, familiar with that word? A fugitive? What's a fugitive, Pepper?
Somebody who broke the law.
Yeah, a fugitive is somebody who's running from the law. Right? If you're a fugitive, you wake up every morning wondering what?
Are you going to get arrested today?
Yeah, is today the day I'm going to get incarcerated? Is today the day I'm going to get arrested? But the Bible says that if you don't want to wake up in fear every morning, do what? Yeah, just do it right. Do what's right. Now, what does the Bible give to the government? What does the Bible give to the government to accomplish this, according to this Bible text? Give me the exact thing that Paul says that God gives the government to accomplish this task.
To bring judgment on those who do wrong.
Okay, but the thing, I'm looking for a noun.
Sword?
Yes. The sword. See it there? What verse is it in? What verse is the sword in?
Four.
Four. What does the sword represent? What does the sword represent in this passage? What does the sword represent in this passage? Lucas.
Judgment.
More than judgment. But you are correct. Judgment. But what kind of judgment?
The life-ending kind.
Yes, the life-ending kind. What does he do with the sword? What does he do with the sword? What does he do with the sword? Yeah, he beheads them. What?
Off with your head.
Off with your head. That's right. Off with your head. Which is the ultimate what? What do we call that? Off with your head. What do we call that? What's the formal two words? What's the formal word for this? Come on. You guys should know this.
You're dead.
What?
And you're dead.
You're dead. That's not what I was looking for, but that's not bad, Landon. All right, I'm going to give you two words. There's the first, and there's the second one. All right, I'll help you out. What?
Corporal punishment?
Corporal, not bad. Corporal is what your parents do.
Capital punishment.
Yeah, capital punishment. Write it down in your notes, please. Capital punishment. What is capital punishment versus corporal punishment?
Capital is like the worst kind of punishment.
Yeah, what's capital punishment result in? Do you keep breathing? No, it's death. Hopefully corporal punishment doesn't turn into capital punishment. Right, we call that murder if corporal punishment turns into capital punishment. Right, so capital punishment is what the sword accomplishment. It's the right to end someone's what? So when the Bible says, for he is, he, the emperor, the governor, is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. What does that mean? Right, so he doesn't bear it in vain. What is the Bible language for he doesn't bear it in vain? Let's look at the CSB and see how the CSB, that's another translation of the Bible. Let's see how it translates that. So Romans 13, let's go on down here. But, I'm in verse 4 right here. Verse 4. Here we go. For it is God's servant for your good. If you do wrong, be afraid, because it does not carry the sword for no reason. It's not walking around with a sword for no reason. It's walking around with a sword for what reason?
To show its authority.
All right, number one, to show its authority. Earlier from 1 Peter 2, we learned that government has two responsibilities. What are the two responsibilities?
To punish evil.
And reward good. All right, so right now, there's a world event happening right now. There's a world event happening right now, and we're seeing this lived out. There's a world event happening right now, and we're seeing this lived out. What is the world event that's happening right now, and how we're seeing it lived out?
Israel?
Yes, but can we be more, besides, does anyone else know what's happening?
Israel.
That's just the National Purge Day or something like that. Yeah.
Anybody have any idea besides that? Or is Pastor Sean going to introduce you to the news this morning?
I don't watch the news.
What?
There's a war.
Yeah, there's a war happening right now. There is a war happening.
Sorry, I live under a rock.
Okay, well, we're going to pull you out from underneath the rock this morning. A couple days ago, Hamas, H-A-M-A-S, a terrorist organization, crossed over into Israel and killed hundreds of innocent civilians, men, women, and children, to the point of beheading children, decapitating children, innocent lives. Now that can only be described with one four-letter word, and what is that word?
Evil.
Evil. Pure evil. Sheer evil. And because the government has two responsibilities, responsibility number one is to reward and punish
evil.
The Israeli army has activated itself and is now not carrying a sword. They're carrying weapons. Weapons of what? Death. Weapons of war. Weapons of destruction. And they're going into the Gaza Strip, which is where this war is happening. Let's see if we can pull up a map for a moment. So let's do Chrome. See if we can get an image. Okay, so this is a picture of the destruction that we're seeing on the screen right here. Let me see if we can get a map view. Here we go. Okay, so there we go. This is the Gaza Strip. If we're looking at this image right here, the top left-hand corner, we can see this is Israel right here. This is Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt. You can see it, Mediterranean Sea. And this little Gaza Strip is where the Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, Hamas has its headquarters. And Israel is preparing to cross into the Gaza Strip and find the terrorists and bring their lives to an end. And according to Scripture, they're doing God's business. It is not the church's responsibility to kill those who do evil. It is not your family's responsibility to find those who do evil and kill them. God created governments to do what? Two things, Pepper.
To punish evil and reward good.
That's right, to punish evil and reward good. Okay? So, rewarding good. You've had a great year of driving, you get to keep your driver's license. Rewarding good behavior. You have not had a good year of driving. You drive drunk, you violate the laws, we're going to punish you. Praise the Lord, it's not capital punishment. What's the punishment for driving like that? In the back, Lincoln, Caleb, what's the punishment for driving like that? You lose what? What do you lose?
Your license.
Yeah, you lose your license. You lose your privilege to?
Drive.
To drive. That's right. You lose your privilege to drive. So the last institution is the what?
Church.
Has God given the church a mandate? What's the mandate that God's given the church?
To go out and spread the gospel.
And?
Praise and honor him.
Not bad.
Make disciples.
To make disciples. Right. To make disciples. So, if we were going to build a chart,
I'm looking for my eraser or towel or anything that I had. I'll just do it on the screen.
If we were going to build a chart with our three institutions, family, government, and church, we could build it like this. Family. So this is the procreate. And what? Cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be to what?
The creation mandate.
The government. I'm under the government.
Oh.
What?
Rule over.
Rule over, not bad. What are we going to do? We're going to reward what?
Good.
Good.
Punish evil.
And punish evil. What are we going to do here?
Make disciples.
We're going to preach the gospel. And then what are we going to do? You said it, Lucas.
Make disciples.
Make disciples. Now, are you writing this down in your notes, or are you thinking that I'm writing it just for the sake of writing it? Okay. Now, there is an implication there, Bethany, Evie, Bryson. There's an implication that everything is done to God's what?
Glory.
To God's glory. That's right. That everything is done to God's glory. That everything is done to God's glory. Okay. What are your questions? What are your questions about what we just communicated? Where are the two passages? Okay, Peppa, go.
So, if all these things work together to God's glory, then how do you explain all the bad governors like Putin and Joe Biden?
No, I didn't say it all works to God's glory. No, no. That's a great question. No, what I was saying is that from God's perspective, everyone is supposed to do something to God's glory. So I govern to God's glory. The church exists for God's glory. The family worships to God's glory. But because of the existence of evil, Putin is wrong. Hamas is wrong. And that's why we're saying that this is evil. And that's why we have a government that's doing what? Supposed to punish it. So is Israel right to destroy Hamas? Is Israel right to destroy Hamas? They're not right? Why not? Why don't you think they're right to destroy Hamas?
Oh, no, they're right.
Okay, you confused me there.
No.
If someone came into your home and you have weapons in your home and they are attempting to destroy your family, do you have a right to end their lives?
Yes.
Absolutely. What'd you say?
One hit obliterate.
One hit obliterate, hopefully. Right. So can you have a sword in your home? Can you have a sword in your home? Yes. What is the limitation?
You don't go around killing people for no reason.
Okay, good. You don't go around. So how would you communicate the sword idea for your home?
It's there to protect.
All right. Because you live in what kind of world?
An evil world.
Yeah, an evil world. And you're there to protect those whom God has given you responsibility to protect. And who are those?
Your family.
Your family? Anyone within the walls of your house. Correct. Good. All right, let's get into our article now. All right, up on the screen we have the creation / cultural mandate. Our key Bible verse is what?
Genesis
1:28. And in Genesis 1:28, we have both mandates. We have both mandates. Okay? Our key word that we have to learn is this word, subdue. This word, subdue. And everybody is using this word, subdue. And then our other key word is the word, dominion. 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 So our cultural mandate has two parts. Subdue and have dominion. Okay? We are subduing the it right there. Jack, what part of the English language is the word it? What is the word it, Jaden? Come on. What?
Pronoun.
Correct. It is a pronoun. Whenever we find a pronoun, we have to determine its antecedent. the big word, antecedent. What is an antecedent?
The word the pronoun refers to.
That's right. An antecedent is the word the pronoun refers to. You will never understand your Bible if you don't find the antecedents to the pronouns. So in this verse on the screen, we are subduing it. And the it is referring to what?
The earth.
The earth. We are subduing the earth. So now we need to think about two ideas. What does it mean to subdue? What does it mean to subdue? And how do we subdue the earth? We need to think about two ideas. What does it mean to subdue? And how do we subdue the earth? So let's look all the way down to our glossary, our definitions, and let's look at this word subdue. Okay? Bryson, go.
To conquer and bring into subjection, to bring under cultivation, cultivate.
Okay. So let's think about all the things on the earth. Let's think about all the things on the earth that we can subdue. We're not talking about dominion over animals yet. Let's think about all the things on the earth that we can conquer, that we can bring into subjection, that we can cultivate. Pepper.
We can cultivate ground.
Yeah, dirt. We cultivate soil. Do you guys raise anything, or what do you raise?
Cows, pigs.
Or animals?
Yeah.
Y'all farm anything? Y'all plant anything?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. Landon, give me something that we can cultivate in the dirt and results in a crop.
Watermelon.
What?
Water.
Sure. Watermelon.
Corn.
Corn. We have two?
Wheat.
Beans. What?
Beans.
And there are all kinds of different beans. We can do green beans, soybeans. Goes on and on.
Black beans.
Kidney beans. On and on. What?
Potatoes.
Tomatoes.
Carrots.
Tomatoes. Apples.
Carrots.
And it goes on and on.
The beans.
Look, it just goes on and on. Right. We can even cultivate tobacco.
Marijuana.
We can cultivate marijuana. You are correct. Marijuana. Pepper brings up marijuana. Are you guys growing it at the house? No?
No.
Okay.
We can grow poppies for a certain kind of drugs.
Yes, poppies for certain kind of drugs.
We can grow mold.
What?
We can grow mold.
You are correct, Preston. We can grow mold. We can grow mold. Right. So I'm giving you all examples of cultivating. These are all examples of cultivating. Is God pleased with us when we do this?
Well, not the marijuana, but everything else.
Okay, not the marijuana, but everything else. Even when we take something like you said, poppy, if it's used in a controlled and appropriate way to provide relief to somebody in extreme pain, mm-hmm. Is that God glorifying?
Yes.
Sure. Sure it is. Those are all God-glorifying things. Let's see if we can figure out. Let's just take a moment. We'll Google. Let's take a moment. We'll just Google North Carolina. And we'll see what kind of... So number one crop in North Carolina. Let's see what we come up with.
That's creepy how popular it is. Okay.
What's that?
Creepy
out populated it. Yes. So, it says that tobacco, the top grown commodity in the state, has a production value of more than $900 million in 2014. Let's see. New numbers show agriculture is top industry in North Carolina. Okay? Let's see if we can look at this article right here for a minute. Okay, soybean, corn, and peanuts are the major crops in North Carolina. More than 400 million pounds of peanuts are produced each year, making the state the fifth largest producer in the country. And then it goes on to talk about peanuts here for a minute and all that. So those are some great things. It says agriculture generated more than $90 billion in the state of North Carolina in 2019. food industries, fiber and forestry, including the agriculture industry. Very good. So those are all examples of cultivating crops. What else? What are the other things that we can subdue? What's that? What'd you say?
Animals.
Yeah, we're going to use the word land, and for this class, we're going to use the word dominion for the animals, okay? So we're going to create a distinction in the way our thinking is. So I like to organize things. So we're going to take the word subdue, and we're going to limit subdue to natural resources. And then we're going to look at dominion with regard to what? Animals. Now, the only reason I'm making this distinction is to help us organize it. To help us organize it. So besides dirt, give me some other things that we exercise dominion over from the earth.
Water.
Very good. Water. Let's talk about some ways that we exercise dominion over water or subdue water. Yeah.
We dam rivers.
Yeah, we dam rivers. And what are the reason we dam rivers? Let's create all the examples of why we dam rivers.
Power.
What kind of power? What do we call that?
Electricity.
Call it hydro, right? And hydropower, hydroelectric. So we have these huge dams. What's the one in Tennessee?
Hoover Dam.
What?
That's in Nevada.
Yeah, the Hoover Dam is in Nevada. You are correct. What's the one in Tennessee? All right, let's take a moment. We've got an instant source of information. Dam in Tennessee. Why won't that T-E-N? There we go. No, nope, that's not coming up. Let's see. There's a giant hydro power thing in Tennessee. Hydro power in Tennessee. Yeah, here it is right here. I think it's this one right here, the middle one, TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, Chickamauga Dam. Let's see if we get some images. Here we go. So this is the concept right here, right? Here's an example. This is what we're talking about. Here we go. That's clear. So how are we subduing this water? How are we subduing this water? How are we conquering this water?
By making it go where we want it to go.
All right, by making it go where we want it. What else?
Control flow, I guess.
All right, control flow. What is this water generating here? How are we using this water here? What is it turning? Do we have any idea? Do you guys have any idea at all what's happening here?
I have some idea.
All right, give me, what's your some ideas?
I assume that the water's flowing by turning these wheels, which generate power.
You are correct. You are absolutely correct. I mean, I'm sure that you guys have seen, like, the old pictures of a wagon wheel, and the water would spill, and it would turn it, and that would go to create, grind corn or grind wheat. Well, this same idea is here. So that's one way. What else on water? Come on, what else on water? Let's go. You had it this morning.
Yeah, we drink it.
What?
We drink it.
All right, you drink it. What else?
We shower.
You shower?
We can change its state.
We can change its state. Give me an example of how you change its state.
We can put it in the freezer, turn it into a solid, or boil it and turn it into a gas.
Okay, how is that beneficial? Come on, I'm asking you guys to really start thinking. You're not thinking. What?
Make macaroni and cheese.
All right.
You have to boil it all.
You're boiling water, which is cooking a noodle, which is making mac and cheese. So you're subduing water, you're conquering water by changing its state. What about steam? I know you guys are way beyond this, but there was a time in which we had steam what? Steam-powered engines. And it was changing all of America because these large locomotives were powered by steam and moved huge amounts down the road. What else? You conquer water by freezing it. To what benefit? What does that do for you when you freeze it?
It expands.
Yeah, it expands. But what does it do for you? How does it make it better for you?
It makes water cold.
All right, making water cool, but I'm talking about ice.
You can skate on it.
All right, you can skate on it.
You can make ice sculptures out of it.
Ice sculptures, but we still haven't got a good thing yet. I mean, those are all fun things and all that, but I'm talking about like a betterment for society.
You can chuck it at your little brothers.
Yes, you can throw ice at your little brothers. That is one. I'm looking for something a bit more bright than if you can give me something a bit more beneficial.
If you hurt yourself, you can put it on it.
Yeah, all right. If you hurt yourself, yeah, it shrinks. It controls it. What else?
You can use it to break stuff open.
Use it to break stuff open. What else?
Can you build houses with icebox?
Yes. What are they called? Eskimos live in?
Igloos.
You
can keep your food cold.
Good. Bam. We finally got there. Right. This was a huge thing. This was gigantic. Okay? Ice created this whole new venue. Okay? Meat. You could cool your meat and then preserve it so that it didn't what? Didn't spoil. Right. Ice changed all kinds of things. Before we had refrigerators, they had what? What do they call them? Does anyone remember? What?
Icebox.
Yeah, it was the icebox. And what did you get delivered to your house? You got big chunks of ice delivered to your house, and they would put it in the what?
Icebox.
In the icebox. And then this area cooled your food. And then finally we discovered refrigeration. How else can we conquer water?
A sauna.
What?
Sauna.
A sauna, sure. And you lay in there and it feels good. How about another way? Before we came up with irrigation, farmers were completely reliant upon what?
Rain.
Mm-hmm. And if you had a bad rain season, what happened?
You didn't do good.
Yeah, you didn't do good. And then we came up with this idea that we could actually move water from a source to a location and spread it over our crops and compensate for what?
No rain.
For no rain. Exactly. For no rain. Okay? All right, let's change it. I want to talk about wind. What? Go.
We have windmills.
Yes, we have windmills. We have these giant wind turbines. Let's see if we can get a cool picture.
Fans.
What?
Fans.
Fans, sure. Why do we... What's the benefit of a fan?
Keep me cool.
Yes, to cool me. Right. So here's a picture of a huge wind turbine.
Yay! That's a long one.
All right. Why would you, all right, Bryson? Why would you want to do that?
Because the wind turns a wheel inside of it, and it turns like I don't know all the details about it, but it makes electricity using the turning mechanism. It creates kinetic energy. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and moves the damn thing. So you live out in Texas, and you live in the plains of Texas. You have an endless supply of what?
Wind.
Of wind. You have an endless supply of wind. You just have an endless supply. And so your initial investment pays for itself in 5 years or 7 years. And then if the lifespan of this is 20 years and you pay for it in 5 years, then what do you get for the next 20 years?
Yeah.
What?
15 years of revenue.
Yeah, free energy. You get electricity for free because you paid for your wind turbine. How much do you pay for wind?
Nothing.
It's free. That's right. Give me another example of the way we subdued wind.
We
used it in the sails on a boat.
Sails on a boat. Another example.
Put it in a balloon.
Perfect. Put it in a balloon. Right, exactly.
Planes.
What?
Planes.
Planes. Sure.
Leaf blowers.
Leaf blowers.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning. Good.
When you sneeze, it blasts air out.
That's gross.
I think so.
I didn't even remember
this. Not quite what we're thinking about.
Kites.
Good. All right. So those are all examples. All right. Trees. Let's go. Change it to trees.
Can you use the wood to make houses?
Wood to make houses.
Trees provide oxygen.
Trees provide oxygen. So we're not subduing them at that point. Right? Because they're doing that whether we touch them or not. We agree?
They can provide food if it's like an apple tree or a tree. And also fruit-bearing tree. If I say and, that's
different. Okay, hold on, Lennon. So let's make sure that we understand that if we're going to cultivate apple trees, that means we're planting them, we're watering them, we're spraying them for bugs, we're making a conscious decision. Go, Lennon.
Shade.
But unless you planted that tree in a particular location, I'm trying to make sure that you understand the distinction between trees are going to grow whether man's on the earth or not. Please understand that. They're growing whether we're on the earth or not. We're talking about ways that we conquer them. We're talking about ways that we cultivate them.
Like a tire swing.
Tire swing. Okay?
Paper out of them.
All right, make paper out of them.
Wood catapults.
What?
Catapults. Wood for heat.
Wood for heat. That's huge. Do any of you guys use wood for heat?
No.
No, yes?
Sometimes.
Bonfires.
Sure. But everyone recognizes that a few decades ago, wood for heat was normal. Mm-hmm. Wood for heat was normal. Okay, so we said paper, we said building, we've said, how about, go back to Jack's example, what do we dam with? Now we do concrete, but what did they dam with earlier?
Wood.
Right, they fall trees. What was the advantage to creating a pond with a dam? What was the advantage? What are some of the benefits that, that provided you as a farmer?
So you'd have a water supply.
Have a water supply. What else?
You'd have food.
Creating a pond on your property. What's the advantage to creating a pond on your property?
Access to fish.
Access to fish. Sure, you can stock that pond and generate a life supply of fish.
You could put ducks in the pond.
Sure, ducks in the pond. How about bathing? Yeah, you say no now because you have a shower. But 100 years ago when we didn't have showers, how cool was it to have a source of water on your property that you could swim in, that you could bathe in? I'm trying to rattle you guys' brains on ways that we subdue the earth. Ways that we have dominion over the earth. The dominion over the animals of the earth. All right, here's your assignment. And it is a writing assignment. A writing assignment. You're going to write about the cultural mandate. You're going to write about the cultural mandate. So pass these around. You're going to write one paragraph about the cultural mandate.
Just one.
That's it. Just one great paragraph. Pass the homework in, please.
Pass around.
Okay. All right, we're done. Thanks for watching.